That's right. Welcome in. Welcome back, everybody, to a post blue and gold game edition of the Always Irish Show. Thank you so much for joining me. As always, you could find the show on the popular website known as YouTube.com. Give me a thumbs up only if you approve of the content afterwards. I'm not one of these guys asking for a thumbs up before you get through it. If you like it, go back and give it a thumbs up and hit subscribe, notifications on, so you're alerted every time there's new Always Irish material. Twitter, at JKZND4, or just type Always Irish in the search bar. Emails, alwaysirishnd@gmail.com. Audio only, anywhere you want me, you could get me. Merchandise link in the description. Some of the novelty tees are up for sale. This one I call the Mark Rogers Special, okay? Get yourself a BSPN Network t-shirt from the Always Irish website, if you please, okay? So, let's get into this. Here we are, spring, everybody is aching for football. Division One big football. I saw other football on and I did watch it and I did enjoy getting my little fix, but it wasn't Notre Dame. So you're in this time of the year where everybody like us, if you're here, you're aching and breaking for some football. So we have the blue and gold game. What did we learn? What looked good? What looked bad? What's still in flux yet to be determined? All of that's in play and there's a lot of all of it. But it's spring. It was just so good to get Notre Dame football. And I admit it, you guys. I was way more excited for this than I should have been. And I was thinking back the last couple years or whatever, and I didn't have that same excitement for a scrimmage game. And I think the reason why is there's all these changes I'm interested in. New quarterback, allegedly a new offensive scheme, Marcus Freeman, all this stuff. There's some new things, and we just wanted to see what it looks like. So, really good to see our guys back on the field, see those gold helmets. Speaking of gold helmets, Notre Dame baseball is a thing. So everybody needs to tune into them. They're playing some really, really good ball. And they are, unless I'm dreaming, I saw they were ranked 6th last week or something and up to 2 now. That could be wrong, but I swear I saw that on Twitter. Check out the Notre Dame baseball squad. They deserve your time, okay? So here's the deal. First off, let's cover the Peacock Network. So it worked. I was able to figure it out, but only because I have it built into my Comcast package. The email was already in there. And then I said into the box, Peacock, and it came up. Okay, so it was easy for me to get access to and it worked perfectly. The picture was clear. I put it on my smart TV. It worked out fine. The ability to not have the down and distance threw me off more than I realized. I didn't realize how much I relied on that. But it's kind of tricky when you're looking at Twitter. I'm writing down notes for this show and I'm watching the game. It's hard to keep track of all the downs every time. And especially with all the players coming in and out and all that. So I didn't realize how much I relied on the down and distance. That would have been nice to have. So whatever. Is it easier for me to just type in a channel and watch Notre Dame? Yes. You could call me old. Tell me that's not how people do it now. Whatever. Just give me a channel. Let me put it in my box. And before you know it, Notre Dame's on the TV. Okay? So on to the action. First off, no major injuries. That's a big deal. That's the number one priority of everybody's spring game. No major injuries. So that's good, okay? So I watched the game. I saw, you know, Twitter ongoing, and I sat here over the weekend thinking about my overall takeaway from the blue and gold game, and here it is. Notre Dame continues each year that we move on past 2016, really. Notre Dame continues to gain quality depth on their roster. Like, quality depth. Guys you could rotate in that could play without a big drop-off and be good or really good in a lot of areas. Notre Dame should still, even with all the offensive and defensive production lost from last year's team, I'm still saying raw talent, top to bottom on the roster, Notre Dame should probably have more than everybody they play in 2021. I'm including North Carolina, USC, top to bottom. I think that's the case. Are you going to go undefeated even though you have more talent? I don't know. That's yet to be determined. But raw talent, I genuinely think Notre Dame, top to bottom, still has more than everybody we play this year. Okay? So going undefeated on that is easier said than done. But when you have a talent advantage over almost everybody you play, I'm expecting you to pull it together. Okay? So here's the deal, though, with that in mind. We're now to the point with Notre Dame where bragging about the high quality depth and all the good play, it only gets you so far. And Notre Dame's running out of mileage of getting all that credibility for being really, really solid, really, really good, top of the second tier, all the stuff I talk about all the time, and so does everybody else. It's not like I'm the only one. They're firmly planted in the top of the second tier in the college football hierarchy. But we're getting to the point where that only gets you so far. Examples of that are the last couple times we went 12-0. It was really, really good, but non-competitive when it came for title town, okay? So that's what I mean when I say that high-quality depth and just the stability right now of the overall program, that's great. But how many years can you live off that before it's time to reach the next step, right? That's what I'm getting at. So Notre Dame now needs not only that quality depth that I referenced, but it also needs to be elite at very key positions to win big. That's my big takeaway, okay? We already know the way Notre Dame's been doing things is good enough to win 10, 11, 12 regular season games every year. We know that. That's very stable. Just stating that puts Notre Dame in the top 4 or 5 in the whole country every year. So we know the way they've been doing it can get you 10, 11, 12 regular season wins. That's not the goal anymore. It's not. And that is a compliment to their accomplishments, that the goal is getting beyond that great regular season and then not even being competitive when there's a trophy on the line, okay? So you need to be elite in certain areas. Being very well-rounded overall doesn't cut it in the playoff era. It could get you to the playoff, but it's not going to get you to win a playoff game, or in our case, even be competitive in a playoff game, okay? So that's kind of where the big picture comes together for me here. We all know Notre Dame's rock solid, but we're not putting any trophies in the case. You need some elite guys at elite positions to get where you need to go, okay? So obviously, quarterbacks won. Obviously, having a dynamic wide receiver group. That's what's scoring all the points in college football, guys. Quarterbacks and wide receivers. It's not a coincidence there was a run on both of those in the NFL draft last week as well. Okay? So you got to be elite in a few areas these days. Quarterback, wide receiver room, defensive line, secondary, things that have the most direct impact on putting points on the board or stopping people from putting points on the board, okay? Now, here's what I think's ultra interesting. What I just said about where the program's at and needs to get very closely mirrors the draft for Notre Dame. I believe it. We had 9 guys taken. Rock solid puts you down at the second tier. I think the top had Ohio State, Alabama at 10, I think. Notre Dame in that next level with 9. Great. But none of them were first round selections. So you could argue Owusu-Karamoah deserved it, and I would argue that too. But the fact is, none of our guys were considered grade A first round prospects. You could argue some of its positional needs of those teams or whatever. I'm just making a very vague general correlating point. Notre Dame's really, really solid, but not elite on the field recently. And then we put a ton of guys in the draft, but none of them at elite of elite status in the draft. I just find that parallel very interesting between what we've seen on the field and it translating to the draft. Really, really solid, but not elite. Our guys in the draft, apparently those GMs thought really, really solid, not elite first round guys. That's a corollary and a parallel that I think is important to note and keep in your mind, okay? That isn't lost on me. That parallel between on the field and then the draft. If you think about it, they run hand in hand. It lines up perfectly in my mind. It matches up with the way I see things, okay? So you have to take everything with a grain of salt in the spring game. It's the classic trap. The defense does good, then you're convinced the offense sucks. The offense does good, you think the defense is bad. You're mixing up guys, splitting up the teams, moving guys in and out. It's really tricky to decipher much, but I do think there are some general observations and specific guys that stood out, okay? Quarterbacks. This is getting really odd to me. It's getting odd and it's getting a little tricky to navigate in my mind exactly what the plan is here. Now, again, we have to refrain from acting like blue and gold game results are the end-all be-all of what everybody's going to be or not be. I know that's not true, but this was the biggest showcase, and that's what I'm going off of, okay? Going off the information I see. Not all that I heard. I'm more interested in what I see when you got a chance to do it. Quarterback. So the starting job is between Cohn and Pine, yet Tyler Buchner clearly, to me, had the best day of any quarterback. Is that an awkward dynamic to anybody else? Does that sound weird to anybody else? Here's what I felt. With Buchner, I felt a little bit of that it factor. The same way I described that it factor with Marcus Freeman, I felt a little bit of it with Tyler Buchner. Not as strong as Freeman, but like the beginnings of that feeling I felt with Buchner. Now, you could say, John, define that. How do you define that? Well, here's one thing. Buchner clearly had the best numbers of the 3 quarterbacks, but let's put that aside. I just got this feeling watching Buchner, by the way, the only guy to lead 2 scoring drives in this game. I got the feeling of like, everybody come with me. I'm going to lead us down the field and score here type of stuff. A little rhythm, a little, let's rally around this guy. Like, I don't know how to define it exactly, but with Buchner, I felt it. And with the other 2 guys, I just didn't. Okay. So it's clear to me. I understand Buchner, maybe the defensive guys he was making these plays on weren't first string, all that. I get it. There's a lot of moving parts in the spring game to try and analyze, okay? I just feel like Buchner has the most elite potential upside in the quarterback room. I just feel like he's the future guy. I just do. When that future kicks in is my big question. Okay? So I'd like to know the plan. Cone had some really good throws, tight windows, leading a guy perfectly, threw it downfield well, and some blah plays. And then some plays where I wanted to say, you're too old and experienced to throw that ball where you just did. And I don't care that it's a spring game or a practice. You're too old to put the ball where you just did as a grad transfer. Okay? Now, if he's the starter, which is clear to me that that was or is Brian Kelly's original plan, I can't have the you can't throw the ball there type moments. If we are getting those, start Buckner. And then you're getting the dangerous throws into traffic that are ill-advised, but development with it. With Cone, you're not. So if Cone's the guy, you can't have any of these, you threw the ball right into traffic and got the ball picked off, bad pass. You can't do that. If you're coming in here as a grad transfer senior, you can't do that. If you're going to be doing that, let me have Buckner. Because at least his mistakes, he will learn from developing into the quarterback and leader of this team the next few years after. If Cone's doing it, there is no development. He's just gone after next year. And then you throw Buckner, Pine, whoever, to the Wolves in the horseshoe week one against Ohio State. So is the plan Cone one, Pine the number two backup, even though it's clear to me Buckner's better than him and is the future? Is that the plan? Okay, I guess. Like, I'm struggling with this. I have zero patience for any rookie-type mistakes from Jack Cone. I want zero of those from a fifth-year senior if we're not playing the guy that's young and going to be our future. You can't afford it. You can't afford it, okay? So that's the trade-off. And so if it's Cone and Kelly's married to that idea, fine. But you can't be putting some of those balls in trouble like he did Saturday. That's not fifth-year senior type stuff. You can't miss a wide-open guy for a touchdown when you're a fifth-year senior. You're here to make those plays with your experience. If I'm not going to get that and you're putting the ball in harm's way, let me have a young kid play. At least there's development there. So that's the trade-off. It has to be there that if Cone's the guy, you don't get these rookie-type throws and mistakes. That's not why you're here. That's not why you're here. But what I can have is it's Cone's job. He's inconsistent, throwing interceptions, right? Two guys. Buckner's riding the bench. It's so-so this year. Then you throw Buckner to the Wolves. Week one the following year and screw that year up. That's what I have no time for. Not here for. So I'm a bit unclear as to what the plan is. Buckner doing so well in the spring game complicated things for Brian Kelly, who will probably start getting annoyed that people are going to keep asking. Because I think a lot of people feel what I did. A little rhythm, a little it factor from Buckner. A little leadership, okay? A little come with me, we're going down this field and scoring. That's what I want to see. So I'm unclear of the plan. If you want to tell me Cone's number one because of all that experience, fine. Pine's the number two, but I think Buckner's already better. Or he played better Saturday. So I'm a little unclear on the plan. And Buckner doing so well Saturday made it more complicated for Brian Kelly to explain as we move forward eventually into summer ball. Now, O-line. Lots of touch sacks. 9, I think. Tricky to gauge with the touch sack and guys wearing the beanies and the this and that. Yeah, it's a little tricky to gauge, okay? So I'm going to give them leeway before ranting about it. But if we get to Florida State and this offensive line is a confused turnstile, I am going to lose my freaking mind. Nothing will sidetrack installing a modern age offense as fast as having a bad offensive line. Okay? So, if it's Patterson, Correll, Lug, Fisher, Spindler, fine. I don't care. Nobody likes two freshmen starting. But you know what? Similar with the quarterbacks. Those guys are going to learn from their mistakes, turn into your team leaders the next few years. If it's even close with that last spot, give it to Spindler for the development, in my opinion, if it's even close for that last spot. I think Fisher's starting. So with that last spot, if it's even close between Spindler and older guy, give it to the younger guy. Get the development going if the drop-off between the two isn't huge. That's my preference. Running back, use Tyree Moore. There's hints that they're looking at trying to do it. Keep doing it. Major weapon, majorly underutilized last year. Capable way more. Use him, use him, use him. You know what you're getting in Kyren and Sebo. Use Tyree Moore. He's one of your most dynamic weapons. Tight end. You already know Mayer is a badass. Barong looked good. Evans looked good. Tackix. I think Notre Dame's in pretty good shape at tight end per usual. In regards to wide receiver, here we go. Jordan Johnson leaving the program, transfer portal. Okay. That is going to get its own episode. And I'm not sure whether you guys are seeing this one first or that one first. Jordan Johnson's out. Leaving Notre Dame out, okay? So here's what we got. Keys, Davis, Lindsey showed up well, having good springs, need to stay healthy, got to become leaders who make plays. Watts, Stiles, Colsey, play early and often. You don't have much room not to do that anymore. Let these guys make plays for you. Then you throw a healthy Austin in the mix as the cherry on top. Everybody needs to stay eligible, stay out of trouble, hopefully stay healthy. This group is frustrating beyond belief. Potential, potential, potential. I'm sick of hearing about it. Results, results, results. Sick of all the potential. I have the potential to make the PGA Tour. Is it happening? No, because my results aren't good enough. Notre Dame only has two wide receivers in the program now from the 2019 and 20 classes combined. Two! That is a disgrace. And isn't even functionable. That room is a mess. Let guys make plays. Notre Dame makes it harder than it has to be. Let guys make plays. Give them chances early. I'm so sick of this. I liked seeing Notre Dame air it out a little bit more. They made an effort to do that. Cone had some great throws, some blah throws, some bad throws, okay? It's just all frustrating me. You need that wide receiver group to be well above average to do anything we want to do. Anything. Any of those dreams or goals about a modern, up-tempo, fast-paced, north-south offense. These guys have to be better, period. All of them better. Make plays. Get open. So the wide receiver room is an ongoing frustration. These guys all need to be available and step up. Time's running out. So, overall, the offense is still what it was pre-blue and gold game. A big work in progress. Okay? Couple things you're comfortable with. Tight ends, running backs. Everything else, I got questions. Justifiable questions. Okay? But that's what spring's for. You didn't see everything. They didn't show everything. Figure out roles, mix, switch guys in and out on the line. Whatever. Now's the time. Now's the time. So that when you come back for fall camp, you know who's doing what and where. Okay? So, quarterback, wide receiver, offensive line. That's what I'm looking at in this transitional year. Now, switching over to defense, my boyfriend Marcus Freeman looks awfully damn comfortable roaming those sidelines all smiles, doesn't he? He's head coach material, if you ask me. Looks real comfortable and natural. Roaming that Notre Dame sideline. That smile on his face. He had his arm around the ref. He's working the refs. Love it. Love it. Now, getting serious for a minute. It's clear to me and everybody else, Notre Dame's defense is still the strength of the program. Lots of quality depth. Players talk about having more freedom in this scheme. I love that. All these guys talk about Freeman wants to put them in positions to let their instincts and natural God-given athleticism beat their one-on-one matchups and make plays. Guys love that kind of challenge. Guys love that kind of freedom. They all step up. I love it. Okay. Credit to Mike Elston. This defensive line has depth. I feel really comfortable there. Myron Heinisch looks strong. Mills could be a wrecker cross making plays. Jason Adamanola. Okay. Here's what they got to figure out. And this is a luxury. This is a big luxury. One that I can't believe I'm saying Notre Dame has. The luxury is one of the big things about that defensive front is the rotation. Figuring out what situations, down, distance, run, pass, whatever. Figuring out what instances each guy excels the best at, and then building your situational rotation accordingly. That is a great benefit to have. In the old days, it was like, well, you're a pretty big guy. You're playing every single play a defensive line for Notre Dame because we don't have anybody else. Now you're in a position to mix and match, switch out your packages, move your personnel based on the situation. It's a great spot to be in. Everybody involved in developing that depth deserves credit. Okay? I have this noted. Batello, Bauer, Mills, those guys have a mean streak. They play with an edge a guy like me notices and me likey. These are guys that want to take your freaking head off every time they get near you. And I love it. Love it. Love it. Want us to have more of it. Love it. Okay. DJ Brown, Ramon Henderson stood out, Leah Fow. I like seeing Adjavon make a play. KJ Wallace, Simon was out there. Walters, Simon and Walters interceptions. Simon was all over the place. Bracian offered in the mix. Here's the thing. I can't believe I'm saying this. And this could turn out to be misguided come the actual season. But I actually feel a little bit better about the secondary after Saturday. And that's where most of my defensive worries come from. It's still a work in progress on that back end. But with Hamilton as your leader, I saw a lot of raw talent out there to work with Saturday. It looked better back there than I thought. Okay? Take it for a grain of salt. Spring, tell me you can't judge it off that. I'm just telling you, based off what I saw, I feel a little better about what we have back there than I did coming into the game. So that's good. But overall, the defense is still clearly the strength of the team. They're ahead of the offense by miles, in my estimation. It's just a matter of settling into those rotations and situational fits. Who does what best, where, and when? The defense is in a really good spot in that regard. Overall, there's no doubt to me Notre Dame has the talent to win all of its regular season games, led by a defense that will keep Notre Dame in every single game. Will the offense find a modern winning identity? The 2021 season hinges on it. Offense still in flux. Fine. That's what spring's for. But time's running out of the hourglass. Guys gotta start making plays. All I know is by the time Tallahassee comes, you better be ready. The end.